Well, welcome everybody to Christian Assembly. My name is Alex. I'm glad that you've joined us today. We've come to lift up the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name. And the Bible gives him a lot of names, and we're going to sing about him today. So let's sing this song, The Beginning and the Ending. These are the names of God.
The beginning and the ending, the Creator. The names of God, mighty warrior, consuming fire, Abba Father. These are the names of God, line of Judah, from foundation, our high tower. Oh, these are the names of God, gentle whisper, intercessor. He's our helper. Oh, these are the names of God. There is power in his name. There is healing in his name. There's salvation in his name. Let us sing and celebrate.
Let's sing again. There's power in his name.
There is power. Salvation in his name, let us sing and celebrate.
Let's take it up, the Messiah.
The Messiah, our Redeemer, the Rewarder. Oh, these are the names of God, Man of Sorrows, Friend of Sinners, the Good Shepherd. Names of God, he's the author of salvation, he's our teacher. Oh, these are the names of God, he's our healer and our shelter.
So we call upon the name of our God even now. We sing.
Our Father, all of heaven knows your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching us. The sound of heaven touching
us. Our Father,
our Father. All of heaven knows your name. Sing louder. voice erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven. We sing, Spirit, break out. Spirit, break out. Break all walls down. Spirit, break out. Oh, come in this moment, God. Here and come. Spirit, 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 break out. Spirit, break out. Break all walls down. Spirit, break out. Come, heaven come down. King Jesus, King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. You're glory shaking up the earth and skies. Revival, we want to see your kingdom here. We want to see, we want to see, we want to see your King Jesus. The name we're lifting high, your glory shaking up the earth and skies. Revival, we want to see your kingdom here. We want to see, we want to see, we want to see. Spirit, break out. Spirit, break out.
God we worship is a mighty warrior, so we declare one last time.
Cause I'm God, a mighty warrior, you're a consuming fire, in victory you reign, we triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander, you conquer death forever. The great commander, you conquer death forever. In victory you reign, we triumph in your name.
All right, let's just sing it, and we declare your name is power,
and we declare your name is power. Exalted one, your name is higher. You stand alone, our strong.
Above you there's no other.
Above you there's no other. Above you there's no other.
Our God, a mighty warrior.
Our God, a mighty warrior. You're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander. You conquer death forever. The great commander,
Well, welcome everyone. It's great to be with you today. My name is Jill. I'm one of the community life pastors here. And if you are new or visiting, we want to extend a special welcome and just say we're so glad that you have chosen to be with us today. We have a connection card in your seat backs. You can fill that out as a way of letting us know that you're new. Drop that in the offering bags when they come around in just a moment. And one of our pastors would love to follow up with you. We also have a new people's table out in the lobby, so be sure to stop by there after the service. We also want to say a very special welcome to all of our online guests. So if you are joining us online, we are so glad that you are with us. Well, you guys, I have a few announcements for us today. This first one I'm excited about. This is for the ladies. Ladies, we're less than a week away from our women's conference, and it's going to be so much fun. We have 425 women currently registered. There is still space to sign up. So if you have not yet signed up, do so. You can register on our website. But we're going to meet in person right here in the South Sanctuary. We also have an option to join us online. It's going to be a great opportunity to be encouraged in God's word. We're going to be excited to hear from our guest speaker, Kathy Christopher. And then we just have a lot of fun. Yes, we all love Kathy. And then we have a lot of fun things planned, like our basket raffle and games and things like that. So be sure to join us. You can register for that on our website. We also have a foster care awareness event coming up. And at this event, they're going to talk more about the current crisis in LA County and just some ways that we can respond. So we're going to be talking about some practical things that we can do to support foster families and foster care, including the care communities that we have here at Christian Assembly. Our CA Students Conference is also coming up. So if you are a student in 6th through 12th grade, or if you are the parent of a student, or if you know a student, register, join us for that. The student conference is going to be a great opportunity to grow and learn together, enjoy some fun games, worship, and all of that good stuff. And then finally, we hosted a parent equipping event on teenage mental health recently, and we just wanted to let you guys know that we have a recording of that available. So if you missed it and want to check that out, or if you were there and you want to see it again and review it again, you can do so on our website, and you can view the recording there. Well, now is the time in our service where we have the opportunity to continue in our worship through the giving of our tithes and our offering. And let me read to us what God's word says from the book of Acts in chapter 20, 35. We read this: it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so may God bless you. May you experience his blessing and his joy as you give generously back to God. In just a moment, we'll pass the offering bags. You, as always, can give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or on our website. If you're new or visiting, please feel no obligation to give, but we do want to say thank you as always for your ongoing giving and generosity. Would you join me as we pray together? God, we thank you so much for everything you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for every good gift, every good blessing that you've put in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you would make us generous, and that as we generously give back to you of all that you've given us, Lord, that you would just help us to experience the joy and the blessing that comes with that, Lord. God, thank you for the many, many women registered for our upcoming women's conference. We pray, Lord, that you would bless them and that you would prepare their hearts for that event. And God, we pray for any woman who's not yet registered or maybe on the fence or not sure if this is for them, just that they would register, that they would sign up, Lord, and that they would come, and that the good news of Jesus would be proclaimed throughout our weekend. So God, we love you. Encourage us and speak to us through the rest of this service. We pray in your great name, Jesus. Amen. The ushers can come forward.
Well, if you're a visitor guest, my name is Tom, and of course, my CA family, great to be with you as well. Want to welcome those of you online, part of our CA family, great to be with you. Of course, any visitors or guests online as well, what a gift to have you with us. I have two important updates to let us know about. One is about masks. The revised guidance from the LA County Department of Public Health states that we're able to make masks optional. So we're making masks optional starting this weekend on the CA campus. Here's what mask optional means, like out of the abundance of over-communication. It means that if you want to wear a mask, you're welcome to wear a mask. And if you don't want to wear a mask, you're welcome not to wear a mask. Here's what you're not welcome to do. Wait. You can applaud at the end. You can applaud after I read the verse, because that's God's word. Here's what you're not welcome to do. You're not welcome to get into arguments about masks on this campus. Now, wait, don't applaud yet. Here it comes. Ready? Because it says in Romans 14, when discussing a disputed issues, back then it was about what foods they were eating. It says this in Romans 14, 19. So then let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Now you can applaud. Now you can say, yay, God. And some of you online have told me, you know, I'm waiting until I don't have to wear a mask. So now this is your opportunity. And if you miss church in person from now on, you have no more excuses because you've told me you were waiting. And so now this is your moment. Well, let me turn to just a heart-wrenching topic. Of course, we've all seen the news about Ukraine. On our website, we've created a prayer guide that's available for you that has kind of more specific ways to be praying. You can get that at cachurch.com. In addition, on Wednesday evening, the CA Council met. Thank you for your prayers, for your wisdom. The unanimous decision of the CA Council was that as an initial gift, we'd give $250,000 to help Ukrainian refugees, and we will continue to monitor and prayerfully consider what further steps we might need to take. Now, why would we take this step? $250,000 is the second largest gift our church has ever given in the history of our church. The only other larger gift was when we gave the money for the living room. Four reasons why we felt like the Lord was saying we were to do this. First is the clear biblical command to help and care for those in need. The second is that we have clear, trusted, known relational contacts who can turn the financial resources into tangible help in Jesus' name. These are people that I personally know, and they were saying, hey, could you help? In fact, one of them is Al and Stacy Anderson, who've been our longtime Kingdom partners that we sent out 17 years ago to start Young Life in Eastern Europe. In fact, Al and Stacy Anderson themselves are taking two refugees into their little apartment as well. So, I mean, it's just amazing to see what is unfolding. The third reason is the scope and the scale of the need. To give you some context, it took one year for there to be 1 million Syrian refugees. It took 1 week for there to be 1 million Ukrainian refugees. I mean, isn't that a shocking amount? I mean, that's just shocking when you think about that. The last reason why was the strength of your giving. If you've been part of CA, you remember 5 or 6 weeks ago when I gave a financial update to you all from our 2021 giving. I said to you that we had our largest December giving ever. It was larger than we would have anticipated, so large that I actually told our bookkeeper, I think you made a mistake, go back and double check the numbers, and she did. And I told you at the time that your giving had positioned us to be increasingly generous as we walked into 2022. And so because of what you've already given, the elders felt compelled that was part of why maybe God stirred such generosity, is so that we could be generous now. You might be wondering, well, where exactly is the money going? Well, I'm going to tell you where it's going. First is that we've already given, $150,000 of the $250,000 has gone out the door to the Foursquare Disaster Relief Group. We're part of a network of churches called Foursquare, and the people that are in the Ukraine that are leading this, they're leading it through a network of local churches there, 33 local churches that are Ukrainian and Ukrainian-led, as well as a number of churches in the surrounding countries that are receiving refugees. In fact, one of the guys' name's Jeff Roper. Jeff told me that they were able to actually, through their networks, get aid into Kyiv, I think I'm saying that correctly. It used to be called Kiev, but I think now it's called Kyiv. This is a more appropriate pronunciation. And they were able to get it in. And one of the things he said is we sent in $10,000 worth of supplies because we needed to make certain they wouldn't get hijacked on the way by the Russian army. And so, I mean, this is the type of logistical stuff that they're dealing with. So we'll be working with them. They also have refugees who are in Poland and Romania, surrounding countries, who are receiving the aid already. In addition, Al and Stacy Anderson, who I've already mentioned, they've told me, for example, they had some of their young leaders who felt like, well, I can't stop the war, but I can help evacuate some people. So they filled their cars up with gas, drove in to the Ukraine to basically get as many people as they could into their vehicles and drive them out. One of the people they brought out is a woman who is pregnant, so she couldn't walk to the border. Her baby is due March 20th. That's one of the women that they brought out. Women and children are the ones that are able to be evacuated. Men are being told to stay in the country. In addition, there's 180 Ukrainian refugees who are orphans that have been bused out to a refugee camp in Germany. And we know the pastor who sponsored that. He's a friend of mine. And so he's actually flying to Germany right now to figure out how to best help them, because the refugee camps aren't maybe the best place for 180 parentless children to be. So he's flying to Germany to figure that out. And so part of the funds we've reserved to try to help them. And then in addition, we have members who are part of CA. The woman is actually a Ukrainian national. And so they have connections to a church in the Ukraine as well. So we're in conversation with them, and some of the aid will be going to that church, who already has thousands of refugees that they're working with, or displaced people that they're working with in the Ukraine. So those are the four different ways that this is going to be happening. None of this would be possible without your giving, and without my giving too. Allison and I give back to God through CA. Some of you have already said to me last week or this week, you've said, hey, I want to give. How do I give? Listen, we're not setting up like a Ukrainian fund or anything like that. Instead, if you want to give, just give to our kingdom offering and or give to our general offering. Basically, we're just using the money and it's coming from our offerings. And on one hand, let me just be honest with you, it's been a very depressing week for me because of all these conversations that I've been in and hearing all these stories from these leaders. On the other hand, I have to say it's crystal clear to me that the church has been activated both within Ukraine as well as the surrounding countries in order to serve. In fact, Alan Stacey told me that in the Czech Republic right now there's no diapers available in the stores because so many of the Czech Republic people have bought the diapers to give them to the refugee moms that are coming across the border. And so you just see God at work. People are opening their homes. There's a Christian camp that has opened up its doors in Hungary, and there's refugees who are there now. We're talking about paying for the heating for them because it's winter there. I mean, it's just an overwhelming amount of logistics. And yet God has put networks in place of Christians, of churches, of Young Life, and other ways where we see God already at work. And so will you join me as we pray for all that's happening? So Lord, we turn our hearts to you, our minds to you, and we ask you to do what we cannot do. But Lord, I thank you that we get to be part of your work. We're in this series talking about experiencing God, that you're always at work and that you invite us to join you in your work. Lord, this is a tangible, real life story that's unfolding right before us of how we as a church get to be part of your work on the other side of the world. And Lord, we pray against the spiritual forces that are behind this, the demonic principalities that are at play. And we ask, Lord, that you would defeat them in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray against the plans of Putin, and I pray, God, that you would thwart those plans. God, we ask that you would protect the country of Ukraine. I pray, God, for all the people who are refugees. And we ask, God, that you would call your church to rise up and to serve as you're already doing. Lord, show us how we can each be part of that. I thank you how we already are. Give us the faith to continue and to not grow weary in doing good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we are on week number 6 of our series entitled Experiencing God. And Harriet Tubman, many of you will have heard that name, was a spy who, even in moments of extreme danger, she demonstrated raw, calm courage. If you don't know her story, she was born into slavery in the 1820s, and Tubman escaped her own slavery. She was a slave in a daring escape in 1849 after her master threw a metal object at her and tried to kill her. She then spent years rescuing hundreds of people out of slavery and leading them to safety. Her code name was Moses. And that was partly because she was known to have never lost a single escapee. Tubman was a devout follower of Jesus and spent much of her time reading and learning and memorizing and meditating on the various passages and various verses of the Bible. And as she pondered the passages, she turned them into prayers, and then she would pray those prayers throughout her entire day, matching the prayers to the activity that she was doing. She was practicing God's presence. Here's what she told her biographer. She said, "I prayed all the time. I prayed about my work everywhere. I was always talking to the Lord. When I went to the horse trough to wash my face and I took the water up in my hands, I said, 'Oh Lord, wash me and make me clean.' When I took the towel to wipe my face and hands, I cried, 'Oh Lord, for Jesus' sake, wipe away all of my sins.' When I took the broom and I began to sweep, I would call out, 'Oh Lord, whatever sin there is in my heart, sweep it out, Lord, clear and clean.'" There's a big difference between knowing about God and knowing God. And God is always at work around you and around me according to his nature. And God pursues us in a love relationship that is both real and personal. And God invites you into his work. And now this week what we're going to see is, how do you receive the invitation from God? Well, this is how. God speaks. God speaks to his people by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. We're going to consider that, but before we do, let's pray. God, as we turn to your word is the main way that you speak. So God, as we come, let it not just be black text on a white page. Let it be your living and active word that enters into our minds and our hearts, that separates even bone from marrow, that can pierce our very soul. God, make our hearts tender to your word, like tender soil. May we receive what you want to say to us this weekend through your word on how to hear you and experience you. In Jesus' name, amen. On your way in, hopefully you got a bulletin. If you did, flip it open to this little center section. You'll see the scriptures that are there that we'll dig into, as well as the teaching notes that are available for you. If you're online, you can also catch the notes that are there. They'll come up, but you can also get them at our website. If anything is clear at all from reading scripture, it's this fact. This fact is apparent, that God speaks to his people. Now, that might sound very elementary. You might think, that's, Tom, is that the best you could come up with this week? Like, that's the best, most insightful thing you could say? But the reality is, so many Christians I talk to will say, "I believe God speaks, I just don't know that he speaks to me. I don't know how to hear his voice." At the beginning of the Bible, we find God speaking to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He spoke to Abraham and spoke to Sarah. He spoke to the judges, the prophets, and the kings, but also he spoke to commoners as well as children. God the Father was in Christ Jesus speaking to the disciples. God communicated to the early church, and as the biblical record came to a close, he spoke to John on the island of Patmos, which is where we get the vaunted book Revelation from, which, by the way, is the next series we're going to do after Easter, is going to be the book of Revelation. The crux of understanding and experiencing God is to know when God is speaking and what God is saying. How do you have a personal, growing, loving relationship with someone who doesn't speak, or if they speak, they speak in a language you don't understand? You need to learn how to understand when God is speaking. But at the foundation of it, you need to believe that God speaks to his people. In the Old Testament, we see that God spoke in many times in a great variety of ways. In Genesis 15, we have God speaking through visions. In Genesis 16, we have God speaking through angels. In Genesis 18, we have God speaking through dreams. In Exodus 28, verse 30, God spoke through something called the Urim and the Thummim, which was on the vest of the high priest. God speaks in Jeremiah 18 through symbolic actions. God speaks in 1 Kings 19 in a gentle whisper. God speaks in Exodus 8 through miraculous signs. God speaks in Exodus 3 through a burning bush. God speaks in Deuteronomy 18 through the prophets. God speaks in many different ways we see throughout the entire Old Testament. In Hebrews 1:1, this is what we read. It says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways, I just outlined a bunch of many ways, to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. On one occasion, Jesus was with his disciples when Philip, one of the disciples, had a request. We pick up the story in John 14, verses 9 and 10. It says this, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been with you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? Now here it is. The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Now, how's he doing his work? He's speaking. Do you see the connection there? He says, it's the Father who's living in me. I don't speak on my own authority. It's my Father who's living in me who's doing his work. When Jesus spoke, the Father was communicating through him. So then when we read Jesus's words, that is God the Father communicating to you, to me. And when we go to the Gospels, from the Gospels to the book of Acts, it records that after Jesus ascended to heaven, God sent his Holy Spirit upon the disciples of Jesus. And Jesus made a lot of statements about what the Holy Spirit would do in John 14 and John 16. He had promised his disciples that the Holy Spirit would help them in the same way that Jesus had helped them. In John 14, 16, and 17, we hear that. He told them that the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. He told them that the Holy Spirit would convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. He told the Holy Spirit that told the disciples that the Holy Spirit would prepare the disciples for things to come. He said in John 14, 26 that the Holy Spirit would bring to their remembrance what Jesus had said. So then, because of that, what Jesus just said the Holy Spirit would do, when I pray and I ask God to speak to me, and God brings to mind a verse, I don't think, oh, I just remembered a verse. I connect it to what Jesus had said, that the Holy Spirit would bring to mind a remembrance of what Jesus had said. In other words, what we have to understand is that God speaks. And by the way, when God speaks, he never contradicts his word. So no one can ever rightly claim, well, the Holy Spirit told me to do something that was contradictory to God's word. I've had people tell me that. And I just tell them all the time. I'm like, well, you might have had a spirit speak to you, but it was not the Holy Spirit who spoke to you. Oh, Tom, the Holy Spirit told me to do something, and then they tell me something that is evil. And I'm like, literally, he's called the Holy Spirit. That's literally his name, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to tell you to do something that is unholy. That's not how this works. To just claim, oh, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, well, if the next words out of your mouth don't align with God's word, then the Holy Spirit did not speak to you. You don't get a free pass to just say, hey, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, no, the Holy Spirit speaks according to God's word and according to God's character. In fact, if you want to go deeper on who the Holy Spirit is and why he matters for your life, I encourage you to go to our website, look at the archive of our teaching series. Back in the day, however many years ago, we did a series called literally the Holy Spirit. So it should be an easy one for you to find within the teaching archives, and you can listen to that one this week. So God speaks to his people. The second thing is this, is that God speaks about his purposes and your character, often in that order. His purposes and your character often, not always, but often in that order. For example, in Mark chapter 1, verse 16, we read this. One day, as Jesus was walking along on the shore of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they were fishing for a living. Jesus called to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. When they had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. And without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. So do you see what's happening? Jesus is speaking about his purposes, which is fishing for people. Jesus is inviting Andrew and Simon, who's later named Peter, to join him. Come and follow me. I'm going to make you about my purposes, which is the fish for people. Notice that Jesus did not get the original disciples together and say, "Okay, let's take a poll. What do you think our new life group should be about?" He didn't do that. They didn't get a vote on what the life group was about. Jesus never preached about the democracy of God. He called it the kingdom of God. And you only get one vote. You're either going to follow the king or you're not going to follow the king. But if you're going to follow the king, then you do what the king says. You're not saying, "Oh, well, you're my king, but let me just tell you all the ways that I think you should take my vote into consideration. You who breathes out stars should take my consideration, who I'm just dust, and I'm not going to really even be in this physical form in this way very long." I mean, that'd be ludicrous for us to do. God's purposes were already determined. Fish for people. After Jesus calls Peter and Andrew, he then goes on and he calls James and John. Notice we have no record of Jesus even asking Peter and Andrew whether they want James or John to join the life group. Like, I wonder what Peter and Andrew thought about James and John. Did they like them very much? I mean, they were fishing near each other. They probably knew a little bit about them. Did they naturally get along? Did they vote the same way? Have you ever been part of a group that was just great? Just great. Until the leader invited or allowed someone to join the group that, shall we say, was less than great in your opinion. Have you ever had that happen? Right? Ever have someone in a life group rub you the wrong way? Ever feel like, "Man, we had a great life group until so-and-so showed up because they really annoy me. They frustrate me." Ever have someone in this congregation post something on social media that makes you mad, that annoys you? I have. I just saw one before I came this week. I'm like, who let that person in this church? I don't even understand. Like, how did that happen? Have you ever been with people who just irritate you to no end? Don't point at them. Just think about them right now. Like, just think, right? Okay, yes, I understand. You know what? I have too. And I actually think that is by God's design, because it's a chance for our character to develop. See, after the initial excitement of following Jesus wears off a bit, this is what happens to the disciples who were just gathered together. Matthew 18:1 says, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' He called a little child to himself, placed the child among them. He said, 'Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me.'" Hey, Jesus, you called us to fish for people. Who's the greatest fisher of people among us? Do you see how that's a character issue? They're not asking, "How can I become better at fishing for people?" They've lost sight of the mission because now they're just comparing themselves to one another. Have you ever done that? You start comparing yourself to someone else. Somehow, what started out as joining with the work of God has now become comparing and ranking ourselves against one another. And Jesus takes this as an opportunity to address their character. He basically is saying, listen, if you want to become great at something, become great at choosing to take the lowest position. Become great at forgiving others. Become great at serving in ways that most others don't want to serve. Become great at entering into the kingdom of God like a little child. God speaks to his people. And here's what I've learned. If you stay involved with God and his work long enough, he's going to have to speak to you about your character. I know he's had to do that for me. When I think back, whenever God first called me to be a pastor, and I was kind of like, I think you got the wrong guy, but we'll try it out a little bit and see how it goes. If I knew all the ways that he was going to have to grow my character, I'm not certain I would have said yes. I said yes, and then bit by bit, my character was shaped because God was at work not just around me, but God needed to work in me to sustain the work he wanted to do around me and through me. I love how Henry Blackaby says it in the book Experiencing God. He says this, quote, many of us just want a big assignment from God, but we don't want to give attention to our character. Here's the quote, nothing is more pathetic than a small character in a big assignment. You ever see somebody who has a big assignment, a big role in the workplace, in the school you serve, in the neighborhood, in the church, whatever it might be? They've got a big assignment, but their character can't handle the weight of the assignment that's on them, the pressure of the assignment that's on them. That word character, it's interesting to me. Originally, the word character, it's a Greek word. It refers to a stamping tool that artisans would use. So, for example, a potter would create a piece of pottery, and then they would flip it over before they put it into the kiln, and they would stamp it on the bottom with their character. They would stamp it on the bottom with their unique character. It's like the equivalent of an artist signing a painting so that people who saw the painting knew who did the work, right? So in other words, a character is stamped on the bottom, and it was a mark of having spent time in the hands of the sculptor, of the creator. That this piece of art was crafted by that particular creator and artisan. In fact, one Greek dictionary defines the word this way. A character is a conventionalized graphic design placed on an object, and here it is, as a sign of ownership, origin, or relationship. God owns me. I've been bought with a price. He is my origin. I didn't create myself, and I know my purpose is best when I'm in relationship with him. God speaks to his people about his purpose and then our character. And the more we listen to him, the more his mission is fulfilled and our character is shaped at the same time by him. Brings me to the third thing we see, which is this, is that disobedience dulls our capacity to hear God. I find that the more quickly I obey God, the easier it is for me to recognize God when he speaks. Conversely, the less I obey God, the harder it becomes for me to recognize God when he speaks. God shows us this pattern in the Old Testament, the prophet Amos. In chapter 8, verse 4, it says, listen to this, you who rob the poor and trample down the needy. You can't wait for the Sabbath day to be over and the religious festivals to end so that you can get back to cheating the helpless. You measure out the grain with dishonest measures, and you cheat the buyer with dishonest scales. You mix the grain you sell with chaff swept from the floor, so they're not giving the full amount of the grain that the buyers were buying it for. Then you enslave poor people with one piece of silver or a pair of sandals. And here it says in verse 11, the time is surely coming, says the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Look, if you're a Christian, I want to encourage you to regularly review what God has said to you from God's word and in prayer. And if you feel stuck, if you feel like, well, God doesn't really speak to me, then go back to the last thing you know God said to you through God's word and prayer and ask yourself this question: did I obey that thing? Did I obey that thing? Because there's really no reason for God to keep speaking to you if you didn't obey the last thing he told you to do. Jesus once said it this way to a group of people who were rejecting God's word in John chapter 8, verse 47. Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God, but you don't listen because you don't belong to God, is what he says to the group. People often think, oh, Jesus just went around and he was just nice to everybody and he just was like, well, you know, imagine Jesus showed up and said, hey, you don't listen because you don't belong to God. You wouldn't think, oh, he's always so nice and he's always so compassionate. He's never confronting in any way. One of the signs that God is at work in you is that you want to listen to God's word. Sometimes people will say to me, well, Tom, I mean, I want to listen to God's word, but doesn't everyone want to listen to God's word? No, not everyone wants to listen to God's word. So that means if you do have a desire to listen to God's word, God is at work in you. I don't know if God's at work in me. If you want to listen to God's word, that's a sign that God is at work in you. Don't take that for granted. Stop and thank God. God, thank you for giving me the desire to want to learn your word. Pastor Eugene Peterson once wrote this. He said, quote, when I was 35, I bought running shoes and enjoyed long distance running, soon running 10K races every month or so. By then, I was subscribing to and reading 3 running magazines as well. But then I pulled a muscle and could not run for months. And those magazines were still all over the house, but I noticed that I never opened them anymore. But the moment that I became healthy enough that I resumed running, I noticed that I didn't just begin to resume running, I also began resuming my reading. See, if I wasn't running, there was no point in the reading. He goes on to say, the parallel to reading scripture is striking. If I am not living in active response to what God is saying to me in scripture, then reading scripture will not hold my attention and interest for very long. The most important question when we come to God's word is not only what does it mean, but also what can I obey? The simple obedience will open up our lives to what God is saying through his word and prayer more than any number of Bible studies, dictionaries, or concordances if we do not obey. Have you ever had a time where you obeyed God and you understood more about what God was saying because you obeyed God? I've had those times. I know many of you have as well. The fourth and final thing is this: spending time with God in prayer helps you experience his voice. I opened with a story of Harriet Tubman turning scriptures into prayer because prayer and scripture are so interconnected in the way that God speaks and hearing God speak. Prayer is not a one-way conversation where you only tell God everything you want God to do or everything you're grateful for or maybe the things that you need to confess. Prayer is a two-way conversation. Imagine if you set up an appointment with a doctor, you got into the doctor's office, and you told them, here's all the angst and pains, here's everything that's going on, and he listened, and then he said, thank you for listening, and you got up and left. And he said, wait, don't you want to hear what I have to say? That's often how we can treat God. God, I'm coming to you, and I told you everything I'm confessed, everything I'm grateful for, everything I want you to do something about, and then we're out the door. No time to listen. But we don't even treat one another that way. Why would we treat a holy God that way? God, teach us to listen. Prayer also includes listening. Remember what Jesus promised is that the Holy Spirit will remind you of what Jesus has said. So often when I pray, I sit silently and I listen. And the Spirit of God will bring to mind a passage of Scripture that speaks to that situation. And often when that happens, I then find a Bible, I open it up to that passage, and I read it, asking God to help me understand how he wants me to apply that passage to my specific situation. So then knowing God's voice is not a matter of some exact method or exact formula. It comes from a personal, growing, loving relationship with God. Think of it this way. If my wife Allison or one of my kids calls me, even if the phone didn't have caller ID on it, and I heard them speak, I would know who they are. Why would I know who they are? Because I can recognize their voice. Why can I recognize their voice? Because I spend regular time with them. In fact, it's interesting, the human voice can be used for security protocols because our voices are as unique as our fingerprint. Can you learn to hear God's voice? Yes, you can. How do I know my family's voice? I've spent time with them. I don't just know about them, I know them. Jesus said it this way in John 10, verse 27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all." That's some good news right there in the chaos of this world. "The Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Notice Jesus says, they listen to my voice and they follow me. In other words, prayer requires both listening to God's word, but also the action that follows. It's not always easy, but it is always possible. I told a guy this week when he said, "I don't really think that I have a great ability to hear from God." And he was feeling anxious about that. And I wanted to set his anxiety at kind of a lower level. I know this guy. I know he's a follower of Jesus. I know he's committed his life to the Lord. I know all that about him. So I said to him, "You know, one of the things that helps me is I am more confident in God's ability to speak to me in a way that I can hear than my ability to hear him. God can, he's created me. He's created you. He can speak to me in a way that I know it's him. He's done it before. So I don't have to feel anxious about that. I'm trusting God's ability to speak even more than my ability to listen. But that doesn't mean I run around sticking my fingers in my ear and saying, "Lo, lo, lo, la, 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 I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't want to hear what you have to say," right? In one of the chapters from Experiencing God, Henry Blackaby tells this story. During World War II, a father holding his small son by hand ran from a building that had just been struck by a bomb. And in his front yard, there was a shell hole, a big blast crater. And seeking shelter as quickly as possible, the father jumped into the hole, turned around, held out his arms for his son to follow. Terrified as smoke and dust and dirt filled the air, yet hearing his father's voice telling him to jump, the boy replied, "But Father, I can't see you." And the father called out to the silhouette of his son, "But I can see you. Jump." The boy jumped because he knew the father's voice and he trusted the father's word. And the father caught him and brought him into safety. All loving relationships have some element of trust in them, right? You can trust that God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible and prayer to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. And when he does that for you, part of experiencing God is hearing him and knowing it's him, but then also trusting him enough to take the next step and obey what he's asking you to do. Let's pray. What purpose is God wanting to speak to you about? Being a fisher of people is not something just for pastors to do. It's for anyone who is a follower of Jesus. Maybe God right now is bringing to mind someone for you to pray for, to commit in your heart to share the gospel of Jesus to invite to be with us in church, online, or in person. Maybe God's speaking to you right now about somebody he just simply wants you to check in on. But he doesn't only speak about purpose, he also speaks about character. What character area might God want to speak to you about? Where is he asking you to become like a little child so that you might enter in and receive his kingdom? Where are you spending too much of your time comparing yourselves to others? Arguing about who's the greatest. Arguing about who's right. About issues that might not matter or be minor. Where is he working on your character? disobedience, it dulls our ability to hear God. Is there anywhere that you know you're being disobedient to God? If so, right now, confess that to Him. Ask Him to forgive you and turn from those ways and turn back to Him. Listen, being convicted of sin is never an easy experience, but here's the reality. If you're being convicted of sin, that's a sign that God is at work. The Holy Spirit comes to convict us of sin. How's your prayer life right now? What's great about your prayer life right now? Whatever it is, thank God and celebrate God for that. Maybe you think, well, it's not so great. Well, then ask God to help you grow. As the disciples once said, Lord, teach us to pray. One of the greatest things that will revive your prayer life is when you not only pray, but then you trust and obey what God says to you from His word and in prayer. We're going to come now to the communion table. On the night that He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus Christ gathered His disciples around Him, and He took a loaf of bread, and He said, this is My body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. As often as you eat this, do this in remembrance of Me. Likewise, He, after the supper, then took the cup, and He said, this is the cup of the shedding of My blood. As often as you drink this, do this in remembrance of Me. And as the scriptures say, when we do this, we announce and proclaim the Lord's death and resurrection until He comes again. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're welcome to participate in this time, whether you're online or here in person. And so let's pray. God, we ask now that You would take this little bit of cracker and little bit of juice and set it apart from the mundane to the sacred use now. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to do that now. I want to encourage you. Today is the day of salvation for you. Say yes to Him. God, forgive me of my sins because of what You've done on the cross. Make me right with You. Make me right with others as far as it depends on me. Forgive me of my sin. Let me be like a little child that enters into Your kingdom by faith. If you prayed that for the first time, your next step is to be baptized, welcoming the family of God. So now if you're a follower of Christ, you can go ahead and take the bit of bread, the bit of juice, and you can eat it remembering what Christ has done, drinking the juice, remembering what He's done. And so God, would You meet with us now, both online and in person? We pray. Jacob, would You lead us?